Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of The Trendhearsal. Yay!
Yeah.
It's another Nathan Fielder joint.
He's fucking back.
I'm Jack. That is Miles.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the first episode of the rehearsal. We'll save it for last so that anybody who doesn't want it spoiled can jump off. But it's definitely worth watching. All right, let's get into what's trending, shall we? Secret Service is trending because they are like, yeah, we deleted all that shit.
I'm sorry, all everything?
Yeah, everything from January 5th to January 6th. So, sorry. Is it weird that I pronounce that date as January 6th?
Yeah, I mean,
there's not like anything I have to hide. It's just like January 6th, you know.
Yeah, but your mouth is even doing a completely different shape to say that. Like, it feels very intentional. It doesn't seem like even subconscious. But so those texts are gone. The ones we asked, the ones that we were like, y'all know everything.
So here's what's interesting. A couple things. First of all, like, the mainstream news story that's hitting today is that they're very well aware. Like, this is not Tom Brady destroying an iPhone. They are very trained in, what's the word I'm looking for?
Data forensics?
Forensics, like forensics. Yeah. They know that you can't, like, delete shit and that you would have to like go to great lengths to delete shit, and they also know they were not supposed to. So the mainstream media news story that's hitting is like there were multiple emails, at least one prior to January 6, 2021, reminding them to preserve records on their cell phones, including text messages before their devices were essentially restored to factory settings and texts were lost as part of a planned reset and replacement program across agency. That doesn't quite put my alarm bells on because it's like, yeah, I ignore the shit out of like company-wide emails.
You're like, someone has to physically knock on my door to be like, did you do that thing?
Seminar I fuck stuff like that up constantly, but the Secret Service is like, they do not tolerate that sort of stuff. Like, they're kind of a high stakes operation, and also like the Secret Service is very good at data forensics. So like, Super Producer Brian, who is more knowledgeable in this stuff than I am, was like, that's not possible. You can't just say that, those texts are gone and there's no way to recover them.
They might have thrown all them fucking phones into the fucking lava and shit. They were like, good
to the Terminator 2 lava.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, like, there should be a record of them with the carrier.
The first conclusion everyone needs to come to is like, they're fucking hiding something, and that is so fucked up. And if you want to play it by the letter of the law, round up all the people who deleted their text messages or whatever, didn't save them for posterity, fucking sit them down or fire them. They have no place being anywhere near any fucking anything at that point. Because, I mean, if they are actually a party to all of it, that makes it even more scary, despicable. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. And there's already a lot of people asking about, like, if they were providing golf carts to people who were, like, going around to, like, trying to get to the Capitol and shit like that. So, I don't
know. People who stormed the Capitol?
Like, the Oath
Keepers, they were, like, getting the VIP at Coachella?
Well, they're like, well, where'd they get the golf carts? And they're like, they know, like, the Secret Service was using golf carts for, like, other shit.
What?
There's a lot of, like,
I don't know, man,
adjacent reporting where, like, there's a mention of Oath Keepers in golf carts. There's mention of the Secret Service people in golf carts. And then some people are trying to connect the dots. I don't know what's actually been reported fully, but yeah, there's a lot of stinky shit there, especially when you know the fact that, like, it seems like the Secret Service even got cold feet when they're like, man, we can't take you to the fucking Capitol. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, I know we were, like, with you up until that point, but it's like a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Then what's that conversation like? What's the insistence on getting Pence in a thing? Whatever.
Yeah. That is the official New York Times headline. A lot of stinky shit there.
Yeah.
So
a lot of stinky shit. And it shouldn't be like, yeah, how could that be possible? It should, the first thing, be like, yo, that is the worst look ever.
And, you know, for anybody who's having trouble imagining why the Secret Service would want to be helping Trump, and, like, who had it in their mind that, like, the Secret Service was part of this deep state that was going to just, like, let Trump, you know, just have his temper tantrum, and, you know, they kept him away from the Capitol. There is at least a number of plausible theories where they're, like, trying to get Mike Pence out of there so that they can, like, extend it for a larger, like, coup that makes it more serious than a bunch of, you know, weekend warriors storming the Capitol and not actually threatening to overthrow the government. Also, the Secret Service, there might be a Secret Service cover-up at the heart of the JFK assassination. So
there it is.
That is my theory, at least.
You've
on
never
what happened.
Taken your eye off them. That's what
never
I like
taken the
say.
Eye off the Secret Service. So I don't know. They have the coolest name of any agency, any official agency, and they probably don't deserve it.
All the best agencies from governments were called the SS. That's what
right.
I know.
That is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. All right, let's pivot to pop culture. Mm-hmm. Nope is out. Is it out or it's
coming
out on Friday?
Yeah. People,
the reviews,
the exalted few who get to see, go to the screenings, have seen it, and everyone, it sounds like they're just picking their jaw up off the floor.
Yeah, everybody see the reviews are good to very good, which is very exciting. For me.
One in AV Club in Nope, the sky is the limit for Jordan Peele's ambition.
Mm.
I'll take that.
The AV Club's review was actually one of a handful that weren't that good, but even those are like, it's not for a lack of ambition or like lots of cool ideas. It just like doesn't quite cohere, but like a lot of people are like, it's a masterpiece. So even the bad reviews are the type of bad reviews that get me excited about.
Oh, there's some tough guy reviews though, too. As I would say, oh, real tough guy.
Oh,
huh?
Real tough guy. Oh, what was the thing you got mad at the person about?
Because they walked out of anger management. And they acted like they were on like on some boss shit for doing that. I was like, oh, you a real tough guy, huh?
You're a real tough guy, huh?
Rear
and
naked
started
choke.
Choking him out, right?
Rear naked choke. Rear naked. Clinched.
Rear naked.
That biggest mistake of my life. I'm like, who the
fuck? Oh, there's some real tough guy reviews here.
There's some real tough guy reviews. BBC, Nope film review. A limping would-be romp. Oh, okay, tough guy. Okay. Let's see.
Okay, BBC.
Okay. let's see. Another one from Polygon. It said, Nope review. Jordan Peele's alien invasion thriller is mostly hot air. Okay, a white dude wrote that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Hot air.
I'm excited. I'm trying not to like read too many of the reviews because I or
the
any of the reviews other than just like the overall headlines because I just want to go in surprised.
I think yeah. I mean even off the strength of the trailers.
Yeah, the trailer's so dope. All right, OAN. Might be gone. One America News.
Oh,
Yeah.
The best. They were the best.
The name that promised to unite us all. I was pulling for them, but
they're the worst. Out. Around. Always want to bring democracy down. Yeah, One American News, by far the most outlandish, full of shit, conspiracy laden nonsense using the word news in their like working title.
And that is a highly competitive field in the United States.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because they were on, like, they made, like, even Newsmax. Like, you know, like, the spectrum was sort of like Fox News. Then you want to turn it up a little more, you got Newsmax. Then you got OAN. Oh, no. Huge pushes of the big lie. I mean, obviously, they're getting sued by Dominion, the voting machines people, because they were incessantly just being like, yeah, it's all bad, and they did it, so Trump won. I don't know. Check out Dominion. And then that, like, that pissed a ton of people off. And they've had this whole saga where, like, DirecTV, like, you know, AT&T DirecTV, they were the biggest cable provider carrying the channel and were providing most of the revenue that kept the network afloat because DirecTV is so big. DirecTV dropped them.
Whoop.
So they're like, ooh.
More like O-N-O. As yeah, in, oi, noi.
I-9. I'm taking, headed down I-9 later. but this, the when that happened, it seemed like the writing was on the wall because the owner of like OAN, he also owns like the AWE channel. He like went on OAN and was like telling the viewers like, hey man, can you beg your local cable provider to keep One America News? It was like that I Think You Should Leave sketch.
the bodies falling out of coffins guy.
He was basically being like, tell them that you want corncob TV. And now the death blow may be coming because Verizon, like Fios, was like the only other like relevant cable provider that was carrying the network. And they're like, yeah, I think we're, they're like, they may be gone by the end of July.
I mean,
Fios. So
these fascists die hard, though. We need to, I want to see them gone. I want to see them in the ground before
here's the thing,
start
though,
celebrating.
Jack, those little fascist seeds, they may blow up north because there is a company in Alaska that is still carrying it to about like maybe 100,000 people.
So they'll just become, literally, it's like the scene after someone gets in trouble in an 80s movie and then you see them like up in the like Siberian wilderness.
Right, exactly.
Like at the outpost in the Siberian wilderness.
100%.
I think if you had showed me both OAN and AWE 5 years ago, I would have assumed, it probably would have had to be like 10 years ago, I would have assumed that it was bad satire. Poorly executed satire.
But it's like, because it's what they do is like, it's a lot of, while OAN is like selling you like the myth that like, you know, you're not a fascist, AWE is sort of doing the thing of like, dude, money's so chill too. Because they have a lot of like stuff that's like selling mansions or like private islands. So it's a lot of, you know, wish fulfillment type shit.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
So they know they're dealing with the people who are looking for answers to something.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And DOJ is trending. Because I think people are just like, so...
What y'all doing?
What's going on?
What are you doing?
Where are we at here? What's happening?
We just saw the thing that they said out loud on TV. I'm assuming you know that. And if that's the case, can you just do something? Okay, maybe not. Well, so we talked about on the episode, I think that came out this morning, about how Donald Trump is, you know, obviously he's now openly being like, I want to run for president because then all my legal problems go away. I'm not really into being president. I just need the protection of the office. Many people were like, yeah, I mean, that seems clear, like why he would want to retreat to the White House, because he feels like that is the one place he can't get got. So then many people were curious, you know, for a comment from the Department of Justice in terms of like how they saw those comments, because he seemed pretty like, you know, clear that he's like, yeah, I'm good. Like if I become president, and also like I'm not going to be fall victim to a witch hunt. A spokesperson of the DOJ said, quote, we're going to continue to do our job to follow the facts wherever they go, no matter where they lead, no matter to what level. We're going to continue to investigate what was fundamentally an attack on our democracy. Pretty much the same sort of line we've heard over and over, but I don't know. That's, again, I'll believe it when I see it. But the one thing that is happening is, like, in Georgia, the DA there, Fannie Willis, has, like, I think said that all of the electors, like in that like sham elector scheme that they were trying to pull in Georgia, all of those people are now basically targets of the investigation. And, you know, now we also have like Lindsey Graham, who's been called to be like, hey, you need to also come up here to talk to this grand jury. And so is Jody Heiss.
But isn't he like saying that he'll send it to the Supreme Court before he actually does it?
He said, no, I think he just said he's kind of not fully, I think he wants to fight it, but he has agreed to accept the subpoena.
Okay.
I mean, in the sense that he's like, I know that it's legal, but to your point, like all of them, they will probably try to sue their way out of it.
Yeah. Again, I'll believe it when I see it, when I see somebody get held accountable for being openly fascist in America.
Yeah.
Seems like that's less of a HR issue more and more, and more and more the brand.
Yeah.
The brand is strong and it is fascism, yes. Unfortunately.
Too strong.
All right. Nathan Fielder, creator of Nathan For You, true genius, I think is generally the consensus on our show. Did I ever tell you about the time I saw him live?
No.
It was like Nathan For You had just come out. I went up to Just For Laughs with Michael Swaim and Daniel O'Brien, and we went to this live thing, Nathan Fielder, and first he went up on stage and just like deadpan performed a Lana Del Rey song in a way that I think made a lot of people feel uncomfortable, but he was really into it. And then he just pulled people out of the audience and interviewed them just based on his ability to find interesting people. And it was like crazy. It was like a magic trick. He wasn't like 100%. Some of the people were just drunk. He's like, sometimes I have a hard time telling if someone is like weird and interesting or just really drunk. So I'll figure it out within a minute. But he truly has a genius for finding compelling people and putting them in wild situations. And yeah. The rehearsal is like they gave him the budget.
Yeah, a lot of people have had some take on Twitter or just in general about him of like sort of like this with the way how deeply he thinks about stuff. If he were evil, he'd be a fucking nightmare person doing like harm to everyone like around the world. But instead, he's like invested in making like just interesting TV.
Part of the question of the show is, is he evil, though? Is he maybe evil?
Like, that's what's beautiful about this show. For people who don't know, the rehearsal is basically, the broad premise is that he's offering people the opportunity to rehearse an interaction that might make them uncomfortable by doing everything he can to make them prepared for it, by like doing every permutation of the conversation as they reveal something or are afraid to hear something,
but doing
and
like
how
deep,
they can deal with it.
Yeah, doing like deep intelligence work on the people who like they're having the conversation with.
Fuck it. If you haven't seen it, like go watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. So this is your chance to bounce because we're going to talk about the first episode, which is called Orange Juice, No Pulp.
Is amazing. It's a reference. So this one is about a guy who wants to admit to one of his quiz. He does quizzes, like bar quizzes, trivia night with a group of friends. He unfortunately has a secret that he's been hiding, which is that he doesn't have a master's degree. And when he brought up that he was like going to graduate and things like that, one of the people on the team assumed he meant a master's degree, and he never corrected them. And he's been carrying this with him for years now. And because he's so concerned, like, the lengths that Nathan goes to do it, he says, okay, where do you want to do it? He's like, I'll probably do it at a trivia night. Okay.
Right.
And who are you going to do it with?
That we usually do. Yeah.
Yeah, this woman that's on my team. He builds a to-scale version of the bar, like down to the fucking seats.
Yeah.
To first give this guy the environment to play act with an actor they've sent to do like deep research on this woman in the most surreptitious ways.
Yeah, like interview her for a job or for like a profile piece, and it's so wild. And again, he is undefeated when it comes to like finding the subjects of these things.
Because
the character is so interesting.
Any other person would be a cult leader, you know, like you find malleable people who are agreeable to say yes to the most preposterous shit, like what Nathan is saying, like, okay, yeah, like I've been rehearsing this whole conversation with you. Would you like the same opportunity? And like, they're the kind of people who are like, oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think one of the big differences between this and Nathan For You is with Nathan For You, you always had the question in the back of your mind, why would these people like go along with this? Why are, you know, and with this, there's part of you that's like, yeah, but like that would be dope to be able to like rehearse something and like have them create basically a Truman Show version of the interaction that you're about to have and get to like run through all the different permutations. It's like very impressive, the level of detail and dedication to creating these false realities. It just like it really like sticks in your brain as like something like just this idea of being able to rehearse and like an interaction. I don't know. It's brilliant. It really is really cool.
Yeah, it is. Like, I all I can say is encourage you to watch it, because it's not just like being like, well, what if we did this? It's the amount of thought going into doing something like this. Like, there's even just to spoil it, right? They're doing a quiz night, and as they're doing this rehearsal of this guy admitting to this woman he's not like the, you know, doesn't have this master's degree, Nathan realizes that, like, because it would be on a quiz night, he sees that this guy is so distracted by the quiz night, he's unable to like work through like the script that they've been like trying to put together.
This is the funniest moment in the first episode.
So to figure out, he's like, the only way I can do it is to make sure he's killing it at the trivia. And he's like, and Nathan finds a way to get all the answers of the trivia night that he's going to admit, like make his admission. And because the guy who is making the admission doesn't want to cheat, Nathan like incepts him over a series of days to put these trivia questions in his mind, like using actors and shit who are playing delivery people or bystanders.
Setting up a fake like murder suicide.
Yeah. The cop was there. A cop. Can't go here. Terrible murder suicide. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Days like these make me curse that the Chinese ever invented gunpowder.
And like both Nathan and the guy are like, okay, cool.
All right, man.
Then cut to like the trivia night. It's like, this nation is credited with creating gunpowder, and you're seeing him like beautiful minded and shit. Oh, you gotta watch the show. You just have to watch the show. You'll never believe it. Even that doesn't even do it a service. So
yeah, it is going to be a thing for sure. Like everybody should get on it early, because it's gonna be a thing. All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves.
Yes.
Get the vaccine.
Yes.
Get the booster if you can. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.